Bible says, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 10, when all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart, with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then, everybody say then, would you? Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He's a good God. Amen? All right, continue on. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and more numerous than your fathers. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow his commands I am giving you today. And then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all your work of your hands and in the fruit of your womb. We got the fruit of the womb happening, that overflow right there. The young of your livestock and the crops of your land, the Lord will again delight in you. The Lord will again delight in you. And he'll make you prosperous just as he delighted in your fathers if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Lord, we come to you this morning knowing that you are mighty in this place, knowing that you are a healer, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have called every person in this room here today for a reason. Lord, I thank you for your message that came forth from Larry this morning, Lord, that your word and your spirit is active in this church, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would take us along the path, Lord. The path to your promise, Lord. The path, Lord, to relationship with your Son, Lord, that we would meet him one day in the sky, Lord, that he would claim us as his own, Lord, and that we would go on to that future that you have for us in heaven. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said? Amen. Well, last week we were talking about being people of the promise, and I talked about the wilderness. I talked about slavery. I talked about the promise and the promised land. And we had some Bible studies this week, and Natty was going, yeah, the wilderness, I was kind of liking that. And I'm thinking, whoa, what are you talking about? And she goes, you know, the wilderness, you know, I'm thinking trees and mountains and water and, you know, and these are pictures of Yosemite, you know, and the nice water. Oh, yes, I'm thinking that the wilderness would be quite fun. Kind of joyous. I'm kind of thinking that the wilderness would be a picnic. And I thought, oh my, we do need to revisit this aspect of the message from last week. Because when we're talking about the wilderness, we are talking about the Sinai Peninsula. And there is no green. There is no water. There is no blessing that is there. It is just a land of barren waste. And so when you think of wilderness, think about just kind of walking between El Centro and Holtville, or El Centro and Mexicali. Or think about that one section as you're going over on 8, on that one valley where there's all them rocks. There's that name for it, Imcupa or something like that. I think it means the hill of rocks. I don't know. But yeah, that's the wilderness that we are talking about. And as we talk about God's plan for 2012, I hope that that does not look like your 2012. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah, because we don't want to be wandering. We want to be people of the promise. And as we go through this series, we're going to be looking ahead into 2012. Now, I have a statement for you that what happens to you in 2012 is going to be largely based on choices that you make. Now, we've got some economic stuff that's going on, and we can get caught up in the midst of it and all that kind of stuff. But I'm asking the question, how are you going to respond to some of the tough stuff that we go through? So we're talking about slavery. We're talking about wilderness, and we're talking about the promise for 2012. And I like to draw some parallels between the slavery, the wilderness, and the promise in our lives and to what the Jews went through as they left slavery. I'm going to use this for the first time today. Everybody go, ooh. All right, so this is the Nile Delta up here. You know what, I'm not going to use this. It's not big. This is the Nile Delta up here. It's kind of blue. This is actual photography, I think, from like a satellite or something. They use it on Google. And you notice it's way blue up there, and there's a lot of agriculture and stuff in the Nile Delta. And some of our lives, there's all kinds of stuff going on while we were in slavery. Amen? Kind of run around a lot of money, kind of run around a lot of stuff, all kinds of action. And the Lord would delivered, the Jews, they got tired of their slavery, and they cried out in their distress. And many of us cried out to God in our distress. Amen? And the Lord delivered us out of that slavery, just as he delivered the Jews out of slavery, and took them through the wilderness. And that wilderness is what that looks like. Okay? And I'll tell you what, when you come out of slavery, when I came out of slavery, I had to work through some stuff. Can I get a witness on that? You know, it's just kind of like, whoa, I got to learn a whole new way to live. And so what the Lord did with the Jews is he took them through the Sinai Peninsula, Mount Sinai, gave them the Ten Commandments. He set them free and then gave them a way to live with him. And then they pursued their purpose and the promise in their lives to the land of Canaan. The land flowing. Everybody say flowing. The land flowing with milk and honey. And you can see that green up there. And you can see the green where they came from. You can see all that brown and death in between. And as we begin to pursue the path of God, right? God would move us through a similar path in our lives. Out of slavery, through the wilderness, dealing with the drama of our life. Dealing with the drama of our past. Anybody else got drama, right? You know what I'm talking about? And you move through that drama, right? And you begin to get a grip on yourself. You begin to get a grip on what the Lord would have for you, right? You begin to sort stuff out. And you go, oh, I get it. And then you begin to move into the promised land where God can use you in a significant way, in a mighty way. We talk about being people of the promise. And I'm wondering, as we talk about this path, how far are you going to go in 2012? Are you going to follow the Lord? Because the title of the message today is Pursuing the Path. And if you're going to pursue the path of God, you're going to have to trust the guide. Today we're going to talk about pursuing the path of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. If you're going to pursue it, you got to prepare for it. Now, we're going to spend some time jumping around in the end of Deuteronomy, okay? And I'm going to read a little scripture to you today. Tune to the person next to you and say, he's going to read a little bit to you today. Could you do that for me? Yeah, he's going to be reading. Okay, we're going to have some of that. It says, back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Or actually, this is verses 15 through 18. I read to you verses 1 through 10. See, I set before you today life and prosperity. Does that sound good? Yes. Life and prosperity. Hey, I'll just take that. No need to. It's kind of like when I go to a hometown buffet. I haven't been in a long time. But I get to the meat aisle. I don't need to go anywhere else. That's all I need. I don't even need dessert. I just want meat, maybe gravy. Gravy is good. Gravy's like liquid meat. All right. See, I said before you today, life and prosperity and death and destruction. That's like the salad zone. You know, don't get Jell-O. Do not get Jell-O at Hometown Buffet. It is just going to take up room in your stomach. All right, I'm joking about the salad. I got to eat salad now. He says, I said before today, life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws, and then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. Not a good thing. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. You're going to prepare for the path of the Lord. You're going to have to line up on the Lord. These guys had been in the wilderness for 40 years. You know that the Sinai, you know, they marched right up to the promised land. They looked over and they said, we can take this land. Joshua and Caleb said, we can take this land. And then the other 10 spies came back and said, oh, there's giants. We can't do it. And they just spent 40 years wandering right along the edge of the promise. Right along, they spent 40 years wandering in that desert wilderness. Some of us spend too much time just looking at the promise. They had lost their priorities. They had become lax in their worship of God. They stopped doing the things they were supposed to do. And to get over into the promise, they had to reprioritize their lives. Reestablish that link with God. They reestablish that link with their guide. Amen? And for some of us to move into 2012, we're going to have to reestablish that link with their guide, with our guide. Now, God had done miraculous things. You saw the picture of the desert, right? You guys ever been to El Centro? Mexicali. It's blazing hot. Can I get a witness on that? God led them by day with a cloud. How many of you want shade in the desert? Amen. And if the cloud was over the top, you'd be going, whoa. And at night, led them by a pillar of fire. How many people like a fire at night? Amen. I mean, some light, you know. And so the comfort of God led them for 40 years. 40 years didn't let their shoes wear out. Fed them, watered them, took care of them. And in the midst of all of that, they had still lost touch with him. They still responded in rebellion. And they lived and they died in the wilderness. They came out of the land of slavery and God gave them a way to connect with him. They gave them a way to start. It required a lot of change on their part. God, you want to hook up with God? It's going to take some change on your part. That's that wilderness experience, learning God's way and putting away the old ways, the old sin ways. And some of us, it takes a long time, and some of us move through it rapidly. And some of us will die in the wilderness. We're going to move through the wilderness. We need to learn his ways. The Jews had been unwilling to change and unwilling to learn. And they never got out of the wilderness. And you'll never get out of the wilderness if you don't learn. Am I talking to anybody out there? Amen. Because, here's that pathway again. Failure is an option. So wait a minute. I didn't come to church to hear about failure. Deuteronomy chapter 31. All right, we're reading about Deuteronomy chapter 30. In Deuteronomy 31, God tells Moses that he is not going to make it to the promised land. You're thinking, Moses? The Lord said to Moses, you are going to rest with your fathers. That means he's going to die. Amen? He says, and these people will soon prostitute themselves. That's not a good thing. Right? How long has Moses been leading them? 40 years. How long has he been struggling and praying and talking to God for them? And God says, they're going into the promised land. You can't go, and they're going to fall. I mean, Moses saying, give me a shot.
We can make this work.
He says, no, you blew your shot. He says, they will forsake me and break the covenant I made with them. The covenant that you're giving, you just got done giving them, they're going to break it. They're going to break the deal. He says, and on that day, I will become angry with them. And God doesn't get angry right there in the book. He gets angry with folks. You don't want him angry with you. Can I get a witness on that? He got angry with them because he broke the covenant. Jesus made a covenant with you with his blood that we celebrate in our communion elements today. And he says, if you love me, you will obey me. That's a covenant that we got. He says, I'm going to hide my face from them. Can you imagine anything worse? Jesus hiding his face from you. He said, I don't even know you. Jesus said, on the day that he returns, people are going to come running up to him saying, Lord, Lord. And say, I don't know who you are. He's going to turn his face from them. He says, I'm going to hide my face from them and they will be destroyed. Many disasters and difficulties will come upon them. This is God talking to Moses about the 2 million Jews. Many disasters and difficulties will come upon them, and on the day that they will ask, have not these disasters come upon us because our God is not with us? At least they're moving in truth. And I will certainly hide my face on that day because of all their wickedness in turning to other gods. And he let them perish in the wilderness. And he'll let them perish in the promised land. They had failed in the wilderness, and they would fail in the promised land. Deuteronomy means a second law. A second law and a second failure. There is a pattern of failure that seems to be occurring in God's people. And if you read the book of Judges, you'll see over and over again, failure after failure after failure, that the people lose track of God. That people lose track of the tenets of God and the way of the path of God. And they suffer failure after failure after failure. The people have a problem with the path of God. They have a problem trusting the guide who would lead us in life. Many of us struggle with the path of God. Lord would give you a path to victory in 2012. And you sound like that kid. Gives us a new path in life. And here's the challenge. God's path is completely different than the path that we're used to. You're going to follow God's path. You're going to have to learn new ways to respond to the things that go around you. You're going to have to respond the way that God tells you to respond. You know what I'm talking about. And it's going to take some effort to figure it out. Figuring it out comes in two stages. And I've called it the wilderness stage and the promise stage. That you come to the Lord and you come out of sin, you might be living in sin right now. And the Lord might be calling you out of that. And as you come out of that, you're going to have to learn. I had to learn how to live straight in my life because I've been 15 years stoned. I had to learn how to be happy and straight, sad and straight, angry and straight. But I didn't know how. As I began to work through, just kind of declutter my brain and my body, it took a year. It took a year just to learn how to function as a human. Wilderness time. And I began to pass through that wilderness, and I began to go to Bible studies. I began to become involved with ministries. I began to do things and begin to serve the Lord. And I moved from the wilderness and into the promise. Now, still tough in the promise. Can I get a witness on that? So we prayed an anointing upon Scott and on his wife because it's a challenge. And if you have stepped into leadership in this church, you will understand that there is an attack that comes upon you when you do that. Amen? You're going to make it down the path for 2012, down the path that God has for you. You're going to have to trust the guide. Amen? We've talked about the way to hook up with the guide. I talked about it several weeks ago. 15 minutes a day to help you focus. Some of you remember this. Some of you have been doing this. Some of you are going, what is he talking about? 15 minutes of prayer. Present your praise, present your person, present your problems, present your people, and present your priorities. That when you get up in the morning, that you would begin to just praise God in your heart. You don't have to even speak it out loud. You can just do it in your heart. You can lay in your bed. You can get on the side of your bed. You can get a cup of coffee. But do it in the morning because it will impact your whole day. And you begin to praise the Lord. And then you begin to present yourself. Say, Lord, here I am, your servant. I got some issues, Lord. Here I am. And as I see the Lord high lifted up, I see that I definitely am not. I present myself to him. And then as real quick on the heels of that, I am presenting my problems. Lord, I'm so messed up. I got issues that I need to deal with. And then I deal with myself and my problems. And then I got my people. You. I start praying for you guys. And I'm led by the drama that is going on and the hottest irons that are going around. I pray for my family, my children, my wife, and you guys. And then I get to that point, and then I begin to pray my priorities. And Lord, what should I do this week? And I pray with a pen. And I just write stuff down. And I let the Lord set my priorities for the day and for the week. You do this in 2012, I guarantee you, your 2012 will look different than 2011. Amen? All right. God is for you. God wants you to succeed in 2012. God is not up there just trying to rain on your parade and make you sad. Amen? Bible says, Deuteronomy 28, we're going back two chapters now, okay? If you fully, everybody say fully. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, it sounds kind of repetitive, and that's why I was having to work on this. I wanted to grab some threads out of this stuff and kind of line it up for you guys. And if you carefully follow all of his commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. Nice. Amen? All right. And he says, all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Now, he's going to give us a little list. If you want to read more, you can read chapter 28. And it's a whole long list. But he says, you will be blessed in the city. Kind of nice that we live in City Heights, right? Because why? We can't look for a blessing in the city as we are obedient to God. You get a tie there? Anybody excited about that? Say, whoa, that's my key to a blessing. He says, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. I don't have a womb, but I share one with my wife, and our fruit is blessed. I like that. And the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord is for you. God's path is pointed towards victory. God has given you in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the surefire way to victory. It is the path of God. And he says, I will guide you along it. He says, I'm going to let you know when you're getting it right. Blessings are going to come upon you. It's kind of like an attaboy. I heard that you had some good stuff go on at the doctor this week, right? Lord's going, good job, Balthazar. There are blessings that come along when you get it right. Now, let me read you a little bit more from chapter 28. We get to verse 15, and it talks about the other side. We call them curses. Not one amen on that. No, get me away from the curses. Okay, let me tell you how to get away from the curses. However, if you don't obey, do not obey the Lord, and things will not go well for you. Have you found that already to be true? I'll tell you what. I came to the Lord understanding that. I like that hand back there, by the way, Eva. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully, some people think, close enough is good enough. Oh, no, God's looking for care on your part. If you do not carefully follow all of his commands and decrees I'm giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the can we just be cursed in the country? Oh, you're cursed in both, cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb, cursed. The crops of your land, cursed. The calves of your herd, cursed. The lambs of your flocks, cursed. You will be cursed when you come in, cursed when you go out. Why? Because the Lord wants you to know when you're getting it wrong. He doesn't want anybody showing up to him on that day going, Lord, Lord, he says, I don't know you. You got me mixed up with somebody else. No, no, we did miracles. No, 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 that wasn't me. You'd be cursed. God wants you to know. And in addition to just blessings and curses, Bible tells us, Jesus tells us that as he went to the Father, that the Father would send the Holy Spirit to guide us in our daily choices. Amen? So we got blessings, we got curses, and we got the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is going to guide us into truth and convict us of sin. And that's why you're going to do that bad thing. You're feeling bad about it. Convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit. God will lead you. But if God's going to lead you, you're going to have to want to be guided. God's going to lead you. You're going to have to trust the guide. Amen? Amen. All right. And God makes us aware of our options. And this is about the coolest thing I've seen in Scripture for a while. Paying attention? Good. This is back to chapter 27. Okay? When you have crossed the Jordan, and again, they are amassed, getting ready to cross the Jordan, getting ready to take possession of the promised land, to defeat all the Canaanites that are in the land. God is going to hand them over, going to give them victory in the land, okay? When you have crossed the Jordan, in the midst of your victory, these tribes shall stand on Mount Gerizim. Say Mount Gerizim, please. Mount Gerizim. To bless the people. Simeon, Levi, Judah, and Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. So you got these guys standing on Mount Gerizim, and these tribes shall stand on Mount Ebal to pronounce curses. Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. That is Mount Gerizim. And that is Mount Ebal. The path of conquest of the promised land went right through those two mountains. And as they were going, God said, I want you to take half the tribes and put them on Gerizim for a blessing, half the tribes, put them on Mount Ebal for a blessing. And I want you to have the Levites stand right in the path and begin to call out the blessings and the curses. Can you imagine that with 3 million people, half on one side, half on the other, and the path of God going right in between them? And they represent blessings and curses. And in 2012, the path of God, amen, would lead through the blessings and curses into a promise that God would have for us. See, and God puts blessings and curses as guide rails on his path. Are you tracking with me? See, the pathway of God leads right through there. And so in the same way we put railings on our streets to keep us on the streets, God puts railings in our lives to keep us progressing down the pathway to victory. Is anybody tracking with me? Amen? In Joshua chapter 8, they did this. They had experienced victory in Jericho, defeat in Ai, and then victory in Ai, and they ended up here, and they did that. And the path of the conquest of the promised land led right through the blessings and right through the curses. Are you paying attention? The other day, we were going home, and Leanne goes, hey, there's Mom. And she could see her car. And I looked over and I said, no, that's not your mom. Because there was a big old dent in the side. Now, these are not pictures of Lisa's car or the other car. But what happened was that this car got too close to the railing. Now, if while you're driving. I mean, while you're driving, you don't put your eyes on the railing. Amen? You keep your eyes where? On the path. You keep your eye on the road. And so often, we can get our eyes off of God's pathway and get our eyes on the blessing. Or we can get our eyes on the curses. God's people were on the rail. They kept on getting messed up. The path leads through the middle. That path was a well-worn path. 500 years previously, Jacob had passed through those two mountains, Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. He had built a well there called Jacob's Well. 1,000 years later, people were still drinking out of that well. In fact, we have a story in the Bible of a man sitting by Jacob's well. And he says, "Woman, give me something to drink." Do you know that story? Yes. And the woman, as they continue on with the discussion, the woman says to Jesus, "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain." You know what mountain that was? It was Mount Gerizim. They had taken their whole religion, and instead of following the path of God between these two mountains, they had taken a turn and just put a focus right there on the blessings. He says, "Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." There are some who will focus on the wrong thing. These Samaritans had taken a left turn. They had put a focus on the blessings of God, and there are churches that, and their whole focus today is on the blessings of God. God says, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. The blessings are for you to continue down the path. For 1,000 years, these people had been stagnant. They had created a wilderness around the blessing. They were making no progress in their lives. And some of us have no progress on our lives. And their lives were focused totally on the rail. To this day, 2,000 years later, there is still a group of Samaritans that worship on Mount Gerizim. 2,000 years after Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, they have made no progress. They're hung up on the rail. How are you doing today? How is your progress down the path of God? Jesus said, "A time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks." A life of truth, a life of focus on God. 2011, where was your focus? If you can look back at 2011 and say, "Yeah, my focus is on the Lord," fine-tune it in 2012. Some of you might just feel lost. You can be found in 2012. Amen? Real quick, I'm getting to the end. Path of God is a person. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Message I have for you today is that God is about more than blessing. God is about more than miracles. God is displayed in what He does, but He is defined by who He is. And so many people run after what He does and lose track or never understand who He is. It's so easy to get lost. Blessings can get you off track. Curses can get you off track. And what you end up doing is running your life into the rail. And like those Samaritans, you don't make any progress. So where are you at today? Path from slavery through wilderness to promise. They spent 40 years right here. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Right next to the promise. Some of you right now are thinking, I am in slavery. And that is okay. It's not okay to stay there. But I tell you what, only a slave can be set free. You got to be in slavery to seek someone to set you free. You're in slavery today and you come to that awareness, you are in the right spot. Because Jesus said, I came to set the captive free. Amen? Maybe you're lost. Maybe you look back at 2011 and you're just thinking, I just wasted 2011. I've been lost and making no progress, going around and around and around. It's okay to be lost because today you can be found. Today, see, you have to understand where you're at to make a change. Maybe you have been working in the promise and you've been progressing down the path and you know the Lord. Hallelujah. You can get better in 2012. It'll get steeper in 2012. God would do more in you in 2012 than He did in 2011. Amen? But if you are going to move down the path, you've got to trust the guide. You cannot follow God and stay where you are. So where are you at? Where are you going? Path is a person. When you know the truth, you will experience the life. Our goal for you this year in 2012 is fullness of life. I am the way. Jesus says, I am the path. The path is a person. Know Him. Holy Spirit will guide you to Him. What are your challenges for 2012? And I'm closing right now. I have many. One of the most significant challenges I have is my body. I am messed up. We were going to go to a birthday party yesterday. I could not go. I was just messed up. Couldn't think, couldn't talk. And I got this thyroid thing going on. I got this diabetes thing going on. I think it's a thyroid thing. It's really messing me up. But it has gotten so that it is all that I can do to prepare to preach. And I like to preach. But it doesn't leave much else for you. It does not leave much else for my family. And so I got to do some work in 2012. I got to move down the path. And for me to move down the path, I got to trust the guide. So how do I do that? Well, in about 30 minutes, I got a preaching class. 5 new preachers. And I'm excited to all get out. And those 5 preachers are moving down the path. For them to move down that path, they're going to have to trust the guide. 2 weeks from today, we've got 8 or 9 ladies heading up to Santa Ana for a teacher's training conference. Julie's leading them. They are moving down the path. They are trusting the guide. Amen? We got a couple new board members going to come on next month. We're going to vote on them on a Wednesday night. We'll let you know about that. Moving down the path, trusting the guide. Got some people going to become members of this church. Moving down the path, going to trust the guide. What are you going to do in 2012? I'm going to change. This place is going to change. We're going to draw closer to our Lord. And I hope you do as well. Lisa, come on up. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning, Lord, a broken man, to capacity because of this broken body. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the ministry by Aaron this morning. I thank you for the ministry by Scott this morning. I thank you for the ministry by Sharon and by Mike this week. I thank you, Lord, that we move down the path towards you this morning. Lord, that you guide us down that path, Lord. That you bring affirmations of our behavior. There's curses that come and there's blessings that come, Lord, but we would continue down that path, that we wouldn't get hung up on the side, Lord. That in 2012 we take steps towards you, Lord. I pray for this church, Lord, that we would catch vision, that we would catch fire in 2012, that there would be new growth, new opportunities, that we would see people coming out of slavery, Lord. That we'd see people passing through the wilderness, Lord. That we'd see people moving into the promise, Lord, finding strength and wholeness, Lord, being utilized in your hand. And maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning. Now I'm gonna talk about slavery, wilderness, and the promise. Maybe you come in here this morning and you are in slavery. You are a slave to sin. You realize that this morning, the Lord has spoken that to your heart. He says, I will set you free, but you must agree with me that you are a slave and that you need to be set free. Nobody looking around. Is that you this morning? You're saying, Lord, I'm a slave. I don't want to be a slave anymore. Set me free, Lord. Set me free, Lord. I'll do that difficult work, making it through the wilderness. I'm looking to be used by you in the promised land. I'll trust you, Lord. I want to move down the path. I want to trust you as my guide. Nobody looking around. Is that you this morning? Just slide up a hand and say, that's me. I'm a slave. Here, here. Anybody else? I'm a slave. I want to be set free. Hallelujah. You're here this morning and you've just been lost all last year, maybe for years and years and years. You've been wandering, you're lost, and you realize this morning I'm making no progress in my life. Guide me down the path, Lord. I don't want to be lost anymore. I want to learn how to live my life. I want to learn how to be obedient. I want to learn how to embrace you in 2012. I want to move on down the path, Lord. I want you to guide me. No one's looking around, but you're tired of being lost. The Lord's speaking right to your heart right now. Says, that's me. Hallelujah. Slide your hand up and say, here I am, Lord. I'm lost. I don't want to be lost anymore. Wander around. I'm tired of it. Right here. Yes. Amen. Amen. I see that hand. Right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See that. Anybody else? Anybody else? Last one. Last one. You're working the promise. It's hard. It's steep. There is sweat pouring off. You're saying, Lord, Lord, it is so hard. Saying, Lord, I'm going to trust you to guide me. I'm going to trust you to guide me. I'm not ready to quit. I'm not turning back. I don't want to perish, Lord. I'm going to get my eyes on the blessings, not going to be distracted by the curses, Lord. I'm keeping to the path and marching towards you. Hallelujah. That's you. Just raise your hands up. Say, here I am, Lord. Empower me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let you stand. Let you stand. Lisa's going to sing a song. Let's close it. Our time in prayer, just in worship. Hallelujah.
Eyes of mercy and rain down.